Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you so much for listening to the show and for sharing with your friends. I know you're doing it because we had our best week ever this week. Yesterday's show did better than any other show we've ever done. And that makes me so happy, not because, you know, it's all about numbers, but it's because you guys are finding value in this and it's helping you be more successful in your business, in your career, wherever you're trying to be more successful at. So that just makes me happy because that is a tangible thing I can look at to know that you guys are being blessed, that you guys are finding value in this. So that just makes me incredibly happy. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to crosspolitic.com. Become a member. See all the other shows that are on the network. They are so great. AD Robles has just an amazing show. I love listening to it. He's one of the newest shows that have come out, and it's just been such a blessing to listen to. And there's so many different perspectives on how we can proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. And when you become a member, you go over there to crosspolitic.com. You put HTBT in the memo field, and you'll get a free mug, and you'll get a ton of other benefits that the network is putting out, other benefits that the other shows are putting out. It's just so much value. And more than that, you are helping us as we are communicating and speaking the gospel in all these different areas of life, including business like this show. So you can be coming alongside of us and help be part of what the Lord is doing on these shows on this network. If you've noticed, we're starting to tighten up our language on the show titles. So How to Build a Tent, it's no longer there. It is HTBT with the episode and then the short episode title. You'll be seeing that with all the other shows as well. It makes it really easy, or trying to make it more easy for you to see it through the feed and then see which shows you want to download. So we're hoping that will be a help for you as we are continuing to add new shows. I just got back from a business trip and I was on an airline. I'm not going to tell you the airline because I have stock in that company. I don't want it to crash. And with how many people are listening to the show, if everyone who has stock in that airline listen to the show, they might sell it and then I would lose money. So I'm not going to tell you the airline name, but I will tell you this story. We were getting taxied out to take off in Hawaii. And, you know, the normal safety check that no one ever listens to. And they were doing, well, if you please buckle your seatbelt like this. If you've never seen a seatbelt before, this is how it goes. And this is how you find your seat wrap underneath your chair. And they were going through that whole spiel. And out of nowhere, the plane just hits the brakes and comes to a complete stop. People were like, whoa, you know, unsettled and stuff. And like, what the heck happened? An hour and a half later on the tarmac, they're like, the pilot comes on and says, sorry, we are now cleared for landing, but we have to go back and get some new crew because someone bumped their head. Now, at first, it was kind of annoying. We were already on the plane for an hour and a half, and the flight just from Hawaii to the Pacific coast is 6 hours, depending on where you're going. But just to get to like the California area and then beyond that, it's like 6 hours and we were already on the tarmac for like an hour and a half. So we were all grumpy and we're all complaining. And you should just know that we did not want to go back to the terminal. And we went back and we were getting taxied back to the terminal to replace the crew. And we had to wait for a new crew to come. And it was just a long time. We were unhappy, but they ended up switching out the crew. And it made me start thinking, what should have the airline done? Should the airline do what all of the guests wanted to do, all of the customers on the plane, and that is take off and get to the destination as fast as possible? Or should they have done what they did and go back, replace the staff who got injured, and get new people to be on the flight? What should they have done? And it was really just making me think about it because I had tons of time to think about it on the plane. When is the customer right and when are they wrong? And that is what I've come up with. And what you probably know as well is that the customer is not always right. You are not always right as the customer. So as a business person, how do you determine when the customer is right, when the customer is wrong, when you should concede to their demands, to their requirements, and when should you not? And how do you know how to do that? And as a Christian, I believe that we have such a great tool to use for this that we will get to. But I thought while I was prepping for the show, it's like, how should I take the show? What direction should I go? And one of the things that popped in my head, there's got to be a lot of funny customer service stories about the customer not being right. And I pulled a few that I just thought were hilarious. And this could be a great exercise for you if you don't have a lot of experience in customer service, is when I read these three stories, is to pause the show and to think, what would you do in this situation? If you were the person that was handling this difficult customer, if the manager got involved, if you're a manager, how would you handle this situation? All right, so this first one is a story, it was from the UK actually, and it has to do with the hotel industry, which if some of you know that have been listening to this show for a long time, that I used to work there as a banquet server. And in the hotel and the hospitality industry, the customer is always right. You bend over backwards to make them feel like they have everything they need, that they are the king of the castle, especially when you go into the five-star resorts. It's amazing. I remember when we were doing events in the villas, which were, you know, basically huge houses, that before the customer even got there, before the guest even arrived, we had a whole list of the things they ate, and we stocked their fridge with all of the groceries that they would normally eat through their stay. We had all of their, you know, all the things that they would want to have interest in. We had it all laid out. We had things scheduled for them. It was just the whole nine yards of everything that we could possibly do to make them happy. So that is kind of how the hospitality industry differentiates themselves. They try to give the best customer service, and they try to give the customer everything they could ever want, especially when you're paying like $4,000 a night. All right, so to the story, the guest comes in and says, I want to check out early and need two nights refunded. And then the person at the front desk said, like they normally say, sure, can I have your name and room number? The guest says, oh no, I'm not staying here, but in another hotel in your company. It's crazy people, man. There are people this crazy. This is not unusual. And so the front desk person said, in this case, you need to do the checkout there and claim the refund. The guest said, yes, but I don't want to go back there. It's on the other side of town. What do you do? So, you know, trying to be polite, the front desk person says, I understand, but I'm afraid I cannot help you. The guest says, why not? The other hotel belongs to your company as well. And then it goes on to say that they spent an extra 30 minutes trying to explain, but he finally gave up and left. So pause the show. Think about, what would you do in that situation? Now, this guy is obviously nuts. Like, if you think that you could just check out of a hotel that you're not staying at in another hotel, that is just absurd and ridiculous. I would probably try to not laugh in their face because that's what I would be thinking. That would be my natural reaction. Like, are you serious? Are you that dumb? Somebody who stays in hotels a lot traveling, I would never think that I could check out of a hotel that I'm not staying at for another hotel. It's incredible. But at the flip side, what could have this person done differently? What could they have done better? I think if I was in their situation and I was in a good mood and not in a sassy, sarcastic mood, I would try to call the other hotel and see if we could do something this one time, see if we could check him out from here, see if we can use his credit card information and be able to assist with that and help them get in touch with the manager, do something other than tough luck, you're on your own. But obviously the customer is not right. So what do? Do you just give him a refund to his credit card, and like if you could? So that's just a funny little story. What would you do? Let me know what you would do. If you want to email me on these things, matt@howtobuildatent.com, or find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent, and want to let me know what you would do for each of these stories. You can tag them 1, 2, or 3, and let me know what you would do. It'd be interesting to think about. Okay, this next one is a cake story, a baker story. And no, it doesn't have to do with gay weddings. So this is what the person said. I work in a bakery department of a large supermarket. A customer presents me with a cake, which she asks me to put icing on for her, which I didn't know you could do that. Could just go up to a bakery and bake a cake, but you don't want to do the icing, so you have them do it? That's not a bad way to go. I go to present the cake back to the customer when she asks me to write paid for on the side of the box. I begin to explain I can't do this with her without her showing me a valid receipt. Makes sense. But the shop fire alarm begins to ring and we're all made to evacuate the building. We get back inside 10 minutes later to find the woman standing in the same exact spot. We have no idea how security missed her, she says. She continues to insist she's already paid for the cake. And after what seems like an eternity of arguing, she storms away down to the bottom of the aisle. I then watch her pull a pin out of her bag and write pay for on the box to herself. To this day, I have no idea if she successfully got through checkout with her handiwork. So this lady was trying to get a free cake decoration. I know. It's so funny. You can just choke about it. That was my son. But what would you do? What would you just write it on the cake because the customer is always right? Or would you call your manager? Would you let that woman stay there throughout the fire alarm? What would you do in that situation? These are kinds of the things that if you don't have experience in customer service, you wouldn't believe them. But I guarantee you, anyone who's spent a significant amount of time in customer service has had stories like this because people are crazy. The third story has to do with a haircut. And the barber, she says to the person, "Hi, did you decide you wanted to go shorter after all?" To the person she's cutting her hair. And the customer said, "No, you cut my hair way too short. This is terrible. How dare you do this to me? You used to be such a good hairdresser." And then she was stunned and she says, the hairdresser says, "I'm very sorry you feel that way." And then it gets cut off and the customer says, "You stop talking and give me my money back. Not another word." And then she said, "I understand." And "not another word," the customer says, "give me my money." The customer decided that she wanted to come back to the store a couple weeks later to get a free haircut that this person said. And then finally, the barber just says, "You know what? You need to just leave. And you no longer are welcomed here." So the barber gave her the free haircut. And then when the person came back later to get her haircut again for free, the barber just kicked her out. So what would you do in that situation? I have to say, though, cutting hair would be the most stressful job in the world for me. If I had to do that, I would be so nervous with every cut that I wouldn't screw up. Because once that hair's cut, it's not growing back. You can't fix it. It's not like the undo button on your computer. So what would you do? What would you do if someone was screaming that their hair was too short? You know, a lot of times people do this just to get free things, free handouts. And I was thinking, so what do we do, like, as Christian business people? How do we discern what to do with certain customers? These customers that are asking for outrageous things, these customers that are angry, that are demanding us to do certain things that they want us to do, that they feel they think is the right thing to do. And then also on top of that, what do you do when a customer doesn't even know what they want? And what I mean by that is you think about all the technology that's come out that's completely reshaping how we do things that before it happened, we would have never known that we wanted that. If you think all the way back when there was the horse and carriage and no one knew they wanted a car, and you asked, you had a customer survey of how could they improve the horse and carriage, you might say, add some extra horses, put some more cushion on the wood seats, see if you could make it a little, you know, smoother of a ride. But no one would have said, "I want a car that is steam powered or oil gas powered." No one would have ever said that because they wouldn't have thought that. In a modern day example of obviously the iPad, a lot of people didn't even think that people wanted iPads. They were skeptical when Steve Jobs came out with that for that sector and for Apple, because you had the phone and you had the computer. Why was this middle ground needed? And now tablets are all over the place. They are a very successful segment of the Apple product mix. So how do you discern these things? And one of the ways, especially when you're handling customers that are problem customers, that are angry, that are asking for outrageous things, is you love them. And not in like the abstract way of just do what feels right and make them happy. But that's not love. That's not biblical love at all, right? But you do what is best for them, and you try to add value in the situation as best you can. So if you make a mistake and a customer is complaining because you messed up, maybe the barber did really cut that hair too short, shorter than she's ever gotten it before, then you make it right. You make restitution. You do what you can to show that person that you care, that her opinion or his opinion is valuable, and that their service, that their business, their customer business, is valuable to you as a business, and that you want to have them continue to be a patronage or to have, I am not talking well today. You want them to continue to do business with your store. And so you love them. You lift them up. You make it right. You fix it. You go above and beyond. But then there's times where they are just acting out to try to get free stuff, free services, and they're trying to take advantage of you. And just giving them what they want to make them happy is not the loving thing to do either. So as Christians, we have a great tool. The Bible is a great instrument to use in business. It's the best business manual. And just because the customer is demanding something, it doesn't mean we should give it to them. Just like with our children, just like with anyone in our lives, just because they want it doesn't mean they should get it. And that's so in counterculture today, where everyone should just get what they want and their own feelings are justified. I love what Toby said about that, is your feelings don't matter because you're not God. He didn't say that they don't matter, but it's not important. It's not the most important thing. And that's true in business. So when you are dealing with somebody who's asking for outrageous things, you don't have to feel like you have to make them feel like they're right or tell them that they're right. Find some way to accommodate them if you can, and then if you can't, send them on their way. Going back to like the 80-20 rule, there's going to be a percentage of people that are going to give you the most business, and then there's going to be a larger group that is a casual purchasers, casual customers. And there's going to be a smaller percentage that are people that are going to cost you a lot of money, that way more than what you're getting in profit from their business, whether it's a product or a service. And you are going to do well if you can get them to go somewhere else because you're losing money from your business. So that is how you should look at things. It's how can you love them? How can you build them up and add value? Sometimes it's by telling them, no, you can't do it. No, you're not going to get away with that here. And sometimes it is fixing it and making restitution. So I hope that helps. I promise myself I'm going to stop saying that, because obviously it's helping. We're growing like crazy. I know that helps. Now start using that in your business when talking with customers. Find ways to love them more. Use these examples that we went through today as practice on how you can better learn to love the difficult customer, the customer that stutters like me on the show and can't think of the right words to say sometimes. Now, before we go, I just want to remind you, we have our business plan contest that is going till March 31st. You have until March 31st to submit to me by email or however you want to give it to me. Your business plan for an idea that you had, for a business you currently own, for a company you work for, and you just want to get experience and learn more about the company, you have until March 31st to submit to me a business plan. I'm going to pick the best business plan that is given to me, and I've already talked about parts of the business plan, the finance part, the product, and I'm going to be talking about the rest in this next couple of weeks, so you're going to have plenty of time to see what I'm looking for in each of these sections and be able to write up the business plan. If you have any questions about the contest, feel free to reach out to me. If you are a CrossPolitik member, then I will answer specific questions and review any parts of the business plan that you have questions about before the deadline. Otherwise, submit it to me and I will pick the best one. You'll get a free swag bag full of HTBT stuff and you'll get a free interview on the show. And let me tell you, with how the show's been growing, you're going to have a lot of new customers because this audience is just being phenomenal. It's growing like crazy and you guys are amazing. So don't pass up this opportunity to get free advertising and of course this free swag bag. Okay, with that, have a good weekend and we'll talk to you next week. God bless.